Many times in Scripture we're told of how the Lord protects and defends his people. Psalm 46 in the verse 1 declares, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Deuteronomy 31 and 6 tells us, be strong and of a good courage, fear not nor be afraid. For the Lord thy God, he doth go with you. Verses 2 and 3 again, we read of the wonderful protection which God provides for his people. The Lord is my rock, the psalmist, or David says here, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my saviour. Thou savest me from violence. Proverbs 18 in the verse 10 puts it like this. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. And in 2 Thessalonians 3 in the verse 3, Paul told God's people, but the Lord is faithful. Churches all speak of how God protects his people. And of course, there are many other verses which I could quote, which bring before us the comforting truth that the Lord does protect and he does defend and he does watch over his own dear people. But the Bible not only declares the truth that the Christian is one who is protected by God, it also demonstrates this truth. And it demonstrates this truth through the lives of the believers that we read of in the Bible. Time and time again in Scripture, we read of how God protected his own people, how he kept them, how he defended them. We think right back to the days of Noah, when Noah lived upon the earth, only he and his family were believers. The rest of mankind rejected God and lived in rebellion against him. But when God's judgment came, when the flood came upon the earth, only Noah and his family, as God's believing people, enjoyed the protection of God in a most unique and blessed way. And we know the story well, how Noah built the ark, and they were safe from God's judgment in the ark. They were protected there. God provided for them in telling Noah to build an ark. Noah then reminds us that the believer, and only the believer, is protected from the wrath of a holy God. And that's something we should understand very clearly as we think about Noah. Noah was the man who was protected from the wrath of a holy God because he believed God. He trusted in God's salvation. And so it is for all men. It is only the believer, it is only the person who is trusting in Christ, who is saved, who is protected from God's holy wrath and judgment. That is why it is so important that you're a Christian, that you're saved. Because if you're not a Christian, if you're not saved, then at this moment in time, the Bible tells us you abide under the wrath of God. You have no protection from it. Another example we could consider from Scripture, where we witness how God's people enjoy God's great protection in their lives, is the people of Israel living in the wilderness. The only reason why the Israelites were unable to live for 40 years in the wilderness was because they enjoyed the protection of their God. The Lord protected them from starvation by giving them manna from heaven. God protected them from dying of thirst by supplying them with water out of the rock. No matter what enemy the people of Israel faced in the wilderness, God protected them. He protected them from Pharaoh's army at the Red Sea. He protected them from the cruel and merciless Amalekites. He protected them from the Amorites. The people of Israel survived and lived for 40 years in the wilderness, simply because they, as God's people, enjoyed the protection of the Lord. God then in Scripture not only declares he protects his people, but he also demonstrates this for us. He demonstrates this to us through his dealings with his own believing people. Now the reason why I've drawn your attention to the wonderful truth that God protects his people is because this is something that is very much brought before us in this passage we're coming to here in 1 Samuel 19. Last time in our study of 1 Samuel, we considered how David had to flee from Saul. He fled away in the middle of the night as Saul's men waited outside his home to slay him in the morning. But what we're brought to see in these verses before us today, these verses we have just read, is after David escaped from Saul that night, Saul went after him. Saul then went after David to take him and to kill him. In fact, he sent three companies of armed men to arrest David. And then in the end, Saul went himself to try and capture him. However, even though Saul was relentless in his desire to slay David, the Lord protected his child. And he protected David in a most marvelous way. This passage then is one of the many portions in Scripture that teach us how God protects his people. And that's what we see here in these verses. How God, in a wonderful way, preserved and protected David from Saul, his enemy. Therefore, in coming to these words today, the subject I want us to simply consider is the Lord's protection of David. The Lord's protection of David. The way God protected David is still the way he protects his children today. And so there's real comfort for every child of God in this passage of Scripture. Because if you think of how God protected at this very moment in his life, this is the way God is protecting us as his people today. This is the way God is still. Comfort for our hearts here, real comfort, as we see how the Lord watched over and protected David. And thinking of these words, there are a number of things that I want us to consider in this passage of Scripture. And the first thing I want us to consider is the place of David's protection. The place of David's protection. In verse 18, we read of the place David escaped to, seeking protection from Saul's evil intentions. See again what it says in verse 18. So David fled and escaped and came to Saul to Ramah, and told him all that Saul had done to him. And he and Samuel went and dwelt in Naioth. Now we noted last time that David's fleeing from Saul was a wise and sensible course of action. His life was very much in danger. In fact, the situation David found himself in at this time was so serious that his wife said to him in verse 11, "If thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow, thou shalt be slain." David then, as he found himself in great danger, fled for his life. Verse 12 says, "So Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped." David's wise actions here do remind us how the Christian needs to behave as they're confronted with danger. The danger of sin and the wicked temptations of the devil. And we need to do all that we can to flee and to escape from the very presence of sin and from the threat which the devil poses. Paul told God's people in 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from all appearance of evil. And the thought is, just get away from it. Anything that even appears to be evil or sinister, we are to abstain from it. Draw away from it. Escape from it. This is the portion, or this is the position we need to take when it comes to that which is unholy and wicked. We need to flee from sin. We need to get away from that which is evil. Sin was wise. He fled from danger, this danger that he faced at this time. What we're thinking of here is the place David fled to, the place he went to. Yes, it was right and proper for David to make his escape at this time. But we also need to note where David went to as he escaped. Where did David go to find protection from Saul? Where did he go that Saul could not destroy him? Well, notice in this passage there are two things we can say about the place David found protection as he fled from Saul. See, where David found protection in the Word of God. He found protection in God's Word. And again, this is something which is very much implied in verse 18. So David fled and escaped and came to Samuel to Ramah and told him all that Saul had done to him. After David escaped out of the window of his house, he fled to Ramah. And he went to Ramah because there Samuel the prophet of God lived. Think about this, and let's just try and put ourselves into David's shoes for a moment. As David plans his escape from Saul's men, he obviously thought carefully where he would run to. Would he go to Bethlehem and seek to find refuge and shelter amongst his own people? Amongst his own brothers and his own family there? And kin? And I'm sure David considered this. It could have been an option. Let's go to Bethlehem because that's my home people and that's where my tribe are and I might find security amongst them. Would he go? And hope Jonathan could protect him from his father. David may well have thought about this. Going to Jonathan's home and hoping Jonathan could protect him from his father. Would he escape out into the wilderness? Where he used to look after the sheep and seek for protection in the secluded and lonely place of the wilderness? Again, this was something David may have pondered. But in the end, David rejected all of these places. Instead, as he made his escape from Saul, he fled to Ramah. And he fled to Ramah because Samuel the prophet, the man who brought God's word, was there. He lived there. He fled to the place where therefore he could find instruction and guidance from the man who spoke God's word. David sought for protection in the word of God. And that's what we see here. He went to the place where he could find the word of God. He went to the place where God could speak to him. And of course, Samuel was God's prophet. He was the man who brought the word. And this David had seeking protection. The place where he could find the word of God. Now this is the place the Christian must continually resort to. That they might know protection from the spiritual enemies which they face in this life. The word of God is the place where the child of God will find protection from the wickedness and evil that surrounds us in this fallen world. This is where we will gain protection. This is the place of our hiding. This is the place of our defense. In the word of God. Think in Ephesians 6 of how the word of God is called the sword of the Spirit. And in Ephesians 6, of course, it speaks about the armor of God. And amongst the armor of God, there is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And think of how the sword protects. It is that which protects the Christian against the attack of this world. It is that which enables the Christian to fight back and resist a wicked and sinful world. Think also of the words of the psalmist. He says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart." Why? That I might not sin against thee. See here the connection between God's word and being kept from sinning. As we hide God's word in our hearts, in other words, as we receive it, as we consume it, as we feed upon it, as we plant it deep within our souls, we are protected from falling. We're kept from sinning. It is that which defends us from the attack of the enemy. Think also of the words of 2 Timothy 3 verses 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. See why God has given to us his word. See why God has spoken. That we might be perfect, and the thought is, might be able to live in a perfect world. Might be corrected and reproved and instructed and guided. Child of God, it is imperative. Imperative that we submerge our hearts and minds in the truth of God's word. For when we do this, we will think biblically. And biblical thinking always leads to living in a godly manner. Biblical thinking protects the Christian from falling into sin. We need to think according to God would have us think. Hide in God's word in our hearts. And therefore, as we meet a world of sin and wickedness, we are able to respond in the right way. Because God's truth is found there within us. Every day the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That you might resist the wiles of the devil. This is the place where we'll find protection from evil. In the word of God. But then there was also here with David. Not only found protection in the word of God, but he found protection in the worship of God. We also see this in verse 18. It's again implied in the words of verse 18 here in 1 Samuel 19. The closing words in verse 18 read, "And he," that is David, "and Samuel went and dwelt in Naioth." David and Samuel then went to Naioth. The question is, why did they go to Naioth? Why did they not stay in Ramah? What was so special about Naioth that David and Samuel headed off from Ramah to this place? We have the answer to why Samuel and David went to Naioth in verse 20. See what it says there. "And Saul sent messengers to take David. And when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying, and Samuel standing as appointed over them, the Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied." Notice what was happening in Naioth. It says here, the company of the prophets were prophesying. The company of the prophets were prophesying. Now this word prophesying literally means to speak or to sing. To speak or to sing. You see, in Naioth there was a school for the training and teaching of the prophets. Today we would call it a Bible college or a seminar. That's what there was in Naioth. And so Naioth was a place where God was publicly worshipped. As the prophets or students met together in this place, they listened and they studied God's word. They listened to God's word and they listened to it preached and they studied it. And they also sang God's praises. This is what was continually taking place in Naioth. And this is what Saul's messengers saw when they came to arrest David. This is what they saw. They saw Samuel and the prophets coming together and prophesying or worshipping God. Hearing God's word preached. Speaking of God's word and the singing of God's praises. However, the point I want us to note here is this. When David was facing danger, he fled to Naioth. For that was the place of worship. That was the place of public worship. And as David met with God's people in Naioth to worship, he knew deliverance and protection in his life. He knew deliverance and protection in his life. He went to the place where the public worship of God was in place. For that's exactly what happened in Naioth. Now, so it is with the Christian still. The place of public worship, meeting with God's people to call upon the Lord, is another vital matter when it comes to the Christian's protection from the danger of evil and sin. In fact, it's crucial. Meeting with God's people, coming together, joining in public worship, is the way we can protect ourselves, is the place where we can gain defense and protection from the attack of the enemy. This is crucial for the church, and this is crucial for God's people. Coming together, joining together, that we might be prepared and equipped and protected against the sin and wickedness of our day. This is a truth that is very clearly brought before us in the words of Hebrews chapter 10. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews, just Hebrews chapter 10. Notice what it says here in verses 24 and 25 in this chapter. Hebrews 10. And the verse 24 tells us, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." Notice here, one of the reasons why we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, and that is a reference to public worship of God's people. One of the reasons why we're not to do this, not to forsake it, is because when God's people meet together for worship, they provoke one another unto love and to good works. Now think about that. As the church comes together, as believers meet for public worship, they provoke one another unto love and to good works. And the word provoke means to prod, to encourage one another. Encourage one another in the faith. Strengthen one another in the faith unto good works. This is what happens in the place of public worship. When we come together, we are actually encouraging the brethren, provoking and encouraging one another. Public worship protects us against backsliding, therefore. It protects us against waywardness. That's what it does. Very often when people fall into a backslidden state, one of the first things they do is abandon the place of public worship. There's no real need to go there. It's not important. And that's very often the first step on the slippery slope of backsliding. Because meeting together with God's people in the place of public worship is essential if we're going to be protected from sin. Often when Christians find themselves in a bad place spiritually, perhaps they've fallen into some sin, or there's trouble in their lives, the devil will come along with a thought, "Well, you can't go to church today. Well, you're not fit. You're not in a fit state to go to church today." today. Look at what you've done. Look at the sin in your life. Look at how you've behaved. You'd be behaving like a hypocrite. Or you need to take it easy and you need to get your life sorted out first. Sort out things in your life and get ready to go back to church when you've these things sorted. And this is the argument the devil will always present. Christian, remember this. The last place the devil wants you to be, the last place the devil wants you to be, is meeting with God's people in worship. And he will do all he can. And he will use every lie and every scheme and every plan to stop it. And the reason why he will, because he knows that if you join with God's people for worship, you will know protection against his attacks. And you will be strengthened to press on in the Christian life. This is what he knows. And this is why he wants to hinder God's people coming to the place of public worship. We then have here the place of David's protection. He found protection in the Word of God. And he found protection in the worship of God. And this is the place we need to live. That's the point. This is where the place we need to live as Christians. We need to live in the Word of God. And we need to live in the worship of God. Because this is the place we will enjoy the protection of God against the wicked world in which we are found. And so we have here the place of David's protection. But then notice also something else in this passage. And that is the provision in David's protection. The provision. In verse 19, we are told of how Saul hears David has gone to Naioth. And then we read in verse 20, and Saul sent messengers to take David. And when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying and Samuel standing as appointed, the Spirit of God was upon the messenger of Saul. And they also prophesied. As Saul's men came to Naioth, and as they see Samuel, David, and the prophets worshipping, or prophesying, as it is said here, the Spirit of God comes upon them. And they too are moved to worship. And now this happens three times. Saul sent three bands of men to take David. But each time, instead of these bands of men capturing David, they are under the control of the Spirit of God. Last of all, Saul himself decides to come to Naioth. He's going to come and apprehend David. But the same thing happens to him as well. The Spirit of God comes upon him and he is moved to worship with the rest of the people that were there in Naioth. Now what we're told here is certainly a most strange and wonderful thing. And there have been some differences of opinion amongst Bible commentators as the Spirit of God was coming upon these men who were trying to behave in a wicked way, trying to put David to death. And there's some confusion and argument amongst Bible commentators as to this taking place. God's Spirit coming upon men who had evil intent in their heart and moving them to worship. And people argue this and argue that and try and explain this. However, I believe if we keep in focus what is actually happening here, then this passage is not difficult to understand. It's not a problem passage. Remember what God is doing here. He is simply protecting his child David. And that's what God was doing here. David had fled to Samuel. He'd fled to the place where he could hear God's word. He'd fled to Naioth where he could worship God. And so God now was protecting his child. As the Holy Spirit works at this time, he provides, miraculously provides, David's protection. That's what happens. God is protecting David here. God by Spirit is working so no harm could come to David. This is the point that we must not miss in this passage. It's a wonderful point actually. God's Spirit work in this world providing protection for God's people. That's what really is one of the most marvelous truths in these verses. God's Spirit is at work in this world. And one of the jobs he does is he protects God's people. God's Spirit continually working in this world to protect God's people is one which is powerfully illustrated for us as the people of Israel come out of Egypt and were encamped at the Red Sea. As Israel came out of Egypt, they were led by the pillar of cloud and fire. And we know that story well, and we know how that happened. God led his people out of Egypt. Where would they go? Well, God led them by this pillar of cloud and fire. And they were directed. And all they had to do was follow. Now, that pillar was a glorious manifestation of God's Spirit with them. And that's what the pillar of cloud and fire was. It was a revelation, a manifestation. Led by the Spirit. And remember, the Bible teaches us as Christians, we are to be led by the Spirit. And this is illustrated for us as if we were led by this pillar of cloud and fire. Led by the Spirit. But remember what happened when Pharaoh and his army came out of Egypt and tried to recapture the people of Israel. This is what we read in Exodus 14, verses 19 and 20. And the pillar of the cloud went before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. The Spirit of God in the pillar of cloud came between the Egyptians and God's people, the people of Israel. In other words, it protected the people of Israel. It protected them. And Pharaoh, the Egyptians, couldn't come through the cloud. They couldn't get to God's people. They couldn't destroy them. Why? Because they were protected. Protected by the Spirit. You see, this is one of the marvelous ways the Holy Spirit works in this world. He provides protection. Glorious protection. Invincible protection. For the Christian. And then thinking of David in this passage and how the Spirit of God protected him, there are two things we should note here. See, in these verses, the might of the Spirit's work in protecting David. The might of the Spirit's work at this time. As the Spirit of God came upon these men that Saul sent to arrest David, and as the Spirit of God came upon Saul, what we see is God's Spirit took control in the lives of these individuals. God's Spirit took control of these men. Just think of it. These men were coming with evil intention. Saul was coming with murder in his heart. He wanted to kill David. But when the Spirit of God came upon them, they were stopped in their wicked work. And they weren't able to carry it out. God so took control of these individuals that even though there was wicked desire in their hearts, even though there was murder in Saul's heart, God so took control. He took control. They couldn't carry their own evil deeds out. They couldn't do it. As David witnessed these wonderful events taking place, he could have declared with personal experience, "What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" It must have been a marvelous thing to be David at that day. He's seen these men coming, armed and ready to take him. And God intervening by his Spirit. Stopping the. Now, as Christ's people, as we consider the mighty power of God's Spirit protecting David at this time, it ought to fill our hearts with comfort and with hope. This is still how the Lord protects his people and work. This is still how the Lord works today. He moves mightily and irresistibly in the lives of men and women. And he makes them willing in the day of his power. This is why we as Christians living in an increasingly wicked world have nothing to fear. Yes, these are difficult days for the church. There's a great falling away. And we see it everywhere. Difficult days for the church. Hard days. Men's hearts are filled with rebellion. And there's this rejection of Christ in our society and his word. Yet despite the serious situation that we're in, the Spirit of God is able to work in a miraculous way and preserve alive God's work. He's able to do it, and we see it here. David was in a most serious position, facing sure and certain death. But God intervened and preserved alive his servant. And the Lord is still able to do this. He's able to work by his Spirit to stop wicked men in their tracks and even turn them around. Think of the Apostle Paul. Do we not see the very same thing happening in his life? There he was going to Damascus to destroy the church, to wipe off the face of the earth, and then God intervened. Mightily intervened, turned him around. And he became the great champion in the church. And this is what the Lord is able to do in our society today. He's able to do this in the lives of our unsaved loved ones who are so rebellious and so opposed to the gospel, even those in the community. God is able to protect his own work. Protect his work in this house by taking control of lives. He's able to do this by his Spirit. And how this ought to encourage us. How it ought to encourage us even as we come to this. We're calling upon the one who is able to take control of lives. And we see it here in this very passage. In these very verses. God took control of lives by his Spirit. And he can still do the same today. Therefore, let us call upon his name with hope and expectation. But notice not only here the might of God's Spirit working in protecting David, but also the manner of the Spirit's work in protecting David. I think it is important to note the Spirit of God only intervened. The Spirit of God only intervened when David was about to be captured. At any stage, God by a Spirit could have stopped Saul and his men in their tracks. He could have dealt with them before they were anywhere near Naioth. He could have cut them off. He could have done anything. He is the Lord. Nothing is too hard for him. Yet this was not the case. The Lord permitted David to see his enemy, to look upon his enemy, before he brought deliverance to him. And we see it here. Saul and his men, they came right to Naioth. They came right to the place where David was before God intervened, before God brought deliverance. And this is very often how God works in the lives of his people. We see this time and time again in Scripture. We can think of Abraham and Isaac. Abraham had his knife drawn over Isaac's head, about to. What about Israel at the Red Sea again? There they were, trapped. They looked like they were fish in a barrel ready to be shot. The Red Sea was before them. Mountains on either side. Pharaoh was coming with his army behind them. There was no way out. And then the Lord intervened and opened up the Red Sea. Think of the widow woman of Zarephath. She was out gathering sticks to make her last meal, so her son, her and her son could eat, and then they would die. Then the Lord intervened and brought Elijah along. What a wonderful miracle in her home. What about Esther? How the Lord at the very last moment intervened. When Haman was about to go in and speak to the king about hanging Haman, the Lord had already spoke to the king about Mordecai. Or when Haman was about to go in and ask the king about slaying Mordecai, the Lord had already spoke to the king about Mordecai the night before. And when Haman went in to speak with the king said, I want you to honor Mordecai and make him the greatest man in the province. Just at the very last moment, God intervened. Isaiah 59 verse 19 puts it like this. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. When the enemy comes in, not before, but when the enemy comes in like a flood, it is then the Spirit of God will work and lift up a standard. In dark and evil days, hope ought to still fill the heart of every Christian. Because it is very often in such days and such times when things appear to be at their very worst, God moves by his Spirit. God moves suddenly and miraculously and powerfully. And as we examine the revivals in the history of the church, this is often great darkness. A day of great darkness. As long as there is no hope, when all human efforts have failed, the Lord intervenes by his Spirit. Turns the situation around. And we see it here with David. It looked like he was going to be taken. But then God moved by his Spirit. Mightily moved. This is why in wicked days we should be to pray. Still filled with the sense of expectation. Still looking to God. All the more so looking to God. Out of a sense of our own helplessness, weakness and undoneness. Lord, intervene. Do it for thy glory. Do it for thy testimony. Work by your Spirit and arise for the healing of your people. And so we have here the provision of David's protection, as well as the place of David's protection. God provided his Spirit. God provided the Spirit to protect David and to protect his cause in a miraculous way. Final thing I want to note here today, very quickly, is the powerfulness of David's protection. The powerfulness of the Lord's protection of David is clearly seen in this passage from the fact that Saul and his armed men could not destroy David. They could not destroy David. We can say, emphatically say, Saul completely failed in his mission. He was not able to capture David. He was not able to kill David. Indeed, God did not permit Saul to harm David in any way. Not in any way was David harmed here. God's protection was powerful. So powerful, David wasn't injured in any way. The point I want us to note here in closing is this. The Christian is completely protected by the Lord. Completely protected by the Lord. No evil can come into our lives. Christian, understand this. No evil can come into your life except that which God himself permits. Except that which God allows. No evil. No. See this in the life of Job. Think of Job. And the Lord permitted the devil to do certain things in his life. But God set the bounds, even when it came to the devil's attack of Job. He said, first of all, listen, you can attack all that he has, but you can't put a finger in him. And so he destroyed all that he had, but he couldn't put a finger in Job. And then the Lord said to the devil, okay, you can touch Job's body, but you can't take his life. You see, all of the time, all of the evil that happened to Job, all of the wickedness was under God's control. Under God's control. And Satan couldn't go one inch beyond. The Christian is completely protected by the Lord. We should also remember that when God does allow evil and trials and troubles to come into our lives, it's always for our own good. It's never for our hurt. It's never for our injury. Romans 8:28 makes this abundantly clear. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. All things, the good things and the evil things, work together for good to them that love God. Child of God, there is no need to be troubled in heart and mind. There's no need to be fearful. For you are completely and powerfully protected by your Heavenly Father. Think of David here. David, now, no need to worry. Even though Saul had sent three companies of... David didn't have to worry. Why? Because of God's powerful protection in his life. No evil could happen to him. Except that which the Lord permitted. And anything that God did permit was for his own good anyway. Powerfully protected by God. And so it is for each one of our lives. This is true as we live in this world. We don't need to fear death. We don't need to fear sickness. We don't need to fear calamity. We don't need to fear what is happening politically. What is happening in our society. What is happening around us. We don't need to fear. Because God is powerfully protecting us day by day and moment by moment. He's watching us. He's keeping us. And he let us go and live. Live with this great truth ever before us. God is watching over our lives. Therefore, we don't need to be fearful. Because of who our God is. And how he's keeping us moment by moment. The powerfulness of David's protection. Even though Saul planned his destruction here. He failed. Because the Lord was his refuge. His rock. His high tower. His strength. The Lord was his protector. And so it is for every child of God. I trust God will bless the thoughts to our hearts today for his own name's sake. Amen. And amen.